Our New Testament reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning with chapter 12 and verse 12. And it reads as follows. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there shall be no division in the body, but that is, parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. I come to you today with a sermon that asks the question, what does God require? Pray with me just a moment. Loving God, we thank you once again, and we pray now, Lord, that you will bless and inspire this message, that it will touch our hearts, our minds, and give us guidance, direction, and food for thought. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, the title of the sermon is not, what does God require? It's, you were made for this. Before there were preachers, before there were pastors, before there were ministers of word and sacrament, before there were priests, before there were elders and deacons, before people were elevated to a position of authority, God said these words, let us create humankind in our own image and in the likeness of God. And let's make them to rule over the fish and the birds and all the things of the sky and all the beasts that creep along the earth, all the fish in the oceans. And so God then created mankind in his own image, and he blessed them, and he set them upon the earth, and he gave them their first set of instructions. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue the earth, take care of the stuff that I have created. Then God said, I give you all the plants and all the animals and all the trees to eat from so that you'll not go hungry. And as he, God, set them out to do their work, God looked out upon all that he had done and all the things he had created, and he said, "This is good." And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And as we continue reading on, there's a bit more in that scripture. It says that on the Sabbath day, God took a rest from all the wonderful things he had created. Now I'm going to have a little fun with scripture. Then came the first day of the week to begin the new week after all of God's work had been done. And after he had rested, he got up and he took a look at all that he had created. And he saw weeds and shrubs growing out of control and animals running here and there and all over the place. So God then tapped his humans on the shoulder and he said, "This is what I created you for. This is why I made you." And he told them, "Go out and take care of the planet. It can't take care of itself. Bring some semblance of order to the animal kingdom and to all the things that I have created with love." And so, after he gave humanity that instruction, he then said, "I'm not just throwing you out there to do it by yourselves with no training. God created humanity with the special gifts and the skills that they needed to do such a thing like this." So he gave humanity the ability to cultivate and to do great things with lawns and grass and foliage. He then taught some how to farm and how to grow crops and all the things that go along with that. For food, he taught some how to hunt. For shelter, he created some to be builders. And then, as time continued on and evolution took its course, things got a little more complicated and a little more sophisticated. So we entered into an age of manufacturing, and so he blessed some of us with skills to be able to run factories and to work assembly lines and all kinds of wonderful things like that. But realizing that some of those things require education, he blessed and created some of us to be teachers. Illnesses started to hit the planet, so he then blessed some of us to be doctors. People got into little skirmishes and strifes, so then some of us were made to be lawyers. And then, at the end of it all, somewhere down the line, some human being decided to create something called a computer, which led to technology and internet and all kinds of stuff. So then God created engineers and people like me who love to build and tinker and fix things and blow stuff up and fix them again. And as the world continued to evolve, the one thing that I love so much about how humanity has managed to stay the course and to maintain the earth and to keep things going the way God intended is that at no time did any one of those entities become completely obsolete. Because no matter how technologically advanced we become, we still need to eat. Amen? And so God bless those who were born with a green thumb and the ability to farm. God bless those who know how to hunt and raise animals that will be used for our meals. And when we look out at this world today, I love how God has created all of this. He made it all so that we would work together in peace and in harmony. And I love how that works. Amen? Just for the fun of it, how many teachers do we have here by profession? Let me see some hands. Okay, how many doctors, lawyers, nurses, medical field people, engineers, homemakers, pastors, teachers, preachers, all that good stuff? God brought us all together, and look, we're all here in peace and in harmony. Just like it said in that book of 1 Corinthians, how the body was created to work together in harmony and in peace. An eye was created to be an eye, hand to be a hand, a mouth to be a mouth, and no part of the body has the ability to discard or disregard any other part of the body to say that I don't need you. Because the reality is that all of us know that when all of our body parts are working in order, it's a great thing and we can get a lot of things done. Amen? But how many of us have woken up in the morning one day with a pain in our knee or hip or ankle or even our little toe? Doesn't that slow you down from accomplishing all the things that you want to get done? And so it says very clearly that when one part of the body suffers, the entire body is handicapped. The entire body is slowed down and moved to a place where we can't accomplish as much as we would love to do. But when everything is working great, we celebrate. Those are those days when I wake up and I go, wait a minute, nothing's hurting. And then I try to accomplish everything I can do because for some of us, we know that that's only a temporary condition. And tomorrow is coming with a new pain or ache. How many know what I'm talking about? And so it's with that, when we look back at that passage of scripture, I am so fascinated about how God pulled all of that together. Because when he was talking about those body parts, what he was really talking about was how all of us come together and work together to be what God has called us to be, which is the body of Christ. Each one made for a specific purpose. Each one made to accomplish a specific task. Each part is necessary, and no part can tell another part that they don't belong. And the other thing that I love about it is that in this particular scripture, it didn't say that, and then God taught the eye how to see, or he taught the ear how to hear. It was made specifically for that purpose. Why? Because that's what God intended it to be. He knew that the body needed two ears, two eyes, a nose. And yes, it's true that if one of our senses begin to fall, another one will enhance its ability to do what it does so that the body can continue to function. But this example is how we are to model ourselves. And that, church, brings us to where we are today. Some of you may know this. Some of you are going to learn this for the first time. But today is designated as a special day. It's called Laity Sunday. This is a day that's been set aside to celebrate those of you who are doing what God has created you to do. And it's with that that we celebrate you on this day. But it's not only for that. It's also to recognize those of you who used to do a lot, but for whatever reasons have kind of fallen away from holding up your end of what God made you for. And there's one more purpose for this day. Another reason why we celebrate it. Every now and then, we find ourselves sort of wandering about, trying to figure out, trying to discover, what is my purpose? What has God created me for? And so we celebrate this as the beginning of your journey of discernment to help you to decide and to see what it is that God has made you to do. This is what Laity Sunday is all about. And this is what God has made us for. For you see, church, whether we realize it or not, God has made each and every one of you for something bigger than you could ever imagine. For you see, church, God so loved the Second Reformed Church of Hackensack and the community that surrounds it that he created each and every one of you, and he gave you to this church to ensure that this church will continue to live on. It will serve this community. It will touch the lives of people who come this way and to be a blessing to anyone who looks upon its doors. How many of you knew that this is the reason why you were born? To be a part of God's greater work right here in this place and right now. And so what does that look like? How do I live into that? How am I to be a part of that? Well, in times like these, where we look out into the world and we see there seems to be a great sadness that's drifting from household to household and from place to place, where people are struggling to make a living, to find peace, to find hope, to find something that gives their life meaning. Some people are struggling financially. Some people are struggling spiritually. There are people who are just simply lost in need of guidance and care. There are people who are suffering in various stages of loss, whether it's from loss of life, loss of finances, loss of job, loss of home, loss of loved one. All of these things are what's going on in the world today. And in some cases, it's going on in our church. In some cases, it's going on in our homes. In some cases, it's going on inside of us. And so why did God make you? God made you so that you can help to bring joy into the lives of those people who are sad. God made you to help those who are struggling, who are lonely, who are sad, who are sitting on the sidelines, who are on the fringes of society that can't find their way home. God has created you specifically to be the comfort, to go out and to reach out to the least of these. And the least of these don't always mean that somebody who is homeless or penniless or somebody without means. For even the richest amongst us go through a time of crisis. Amen? And so, church, how do we answer this call that God has placed on our life? How do we stand and know that we can be a blessing with the things that God has blessed us with the ability to do? Well, the first thing we need to know is that whatever it is that God has made you to do, you do it with one thing in mind, and that is the love of God. Amen? Hear what it says in 1 Peter about that. It says, above all, love each other. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of the grace of God and its various forms. Church, beloved people of God, you were made for this. So I challenge you today. I challenge you to live into your calling. When you look in the mirror and you see what it is that you're good at, that's what God made you to do. And I challenge you to go out and to do just that. Yes, it's true. When you look at a church like this, with all of the wonderful things we have going on, I can say this without reservation, and that is that it's the leadership that runs the church. But it's you, the membership, who keeps the church alive through its ministries, through your work, through your presence, and through your love. Amen? We have a very tiny consistory, just a small handful of people, and they can't do everything. They require help. They require assistance. But believe it or not, would you believe that leaders need prayer too? Would you believe that Pastor Anna and I get sad, get depressed, feel anxious, get agitated, get irritated. And sometimes we need a phone call from somebody who will simply say, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing today?" How many of you have ever been in that place where anxiety or anger or some other emotion was running high, and out of the clear blue, you got a phone call from somebody or a knock on a door from somebody who visited you and said, "Hey, let's have a cup of coffee. Let's go have lunch." And all of a sudden, the things in your world just began to change. Life just started to feel a whole lot better. Let me see some hands. Have anybody ever had that experience, or am I the only one? Now imagine this. If it made you feel good, could you imagine how you could make somebody else feel? This is what God has made you for. Church, beloved people of God, over the next few weeks, what you're going to see happening here at the Second Reformed Church of Hackensack, we are going to, Pastor Anna and I, are going to put up sign-up sheets. We're going to call some of you. We're going to personally invite you and challenge you and encourage you to live into the purpose of what God has made you for. We're going to inspire you. We're going to train you. We're going to help you to discern your gifts so that when you go out into this wonderful world that God created, you will know your purpose, your reason for being. And over the next year, we expect to see great things. I'm looking for those of you who have been blessed with the ability to teach to begin teaching. I'm looking for those of you who have a gift of love and welcoming spirit of hospitality to reach out to those who are lonely, lost, those who sit at home alone waiting for people to come and visit you. We will be encouraging those of you who were made with the gift of hospitality to become a part of this wonderful, welcoming community, to simply make visitors feel like family, not just visitors. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We don't know where God is going to lead us. We don't know what gifts lie among us. We can only speculate and assume. But when we get to know you better, we are going to use those gifts to the best of our abilities. Amen. I just found out this morning, and Audrey, I'm going to put you on the spot. Arlene, I'm going to put you on the spot. She told me that in her home, she has some wonderful toys that she invited me to come and play with. Coping saw, drill press. Oh, we're going to do some woodworking. We got any people who like to do arts and crafts and woodworking here? Raise your hand. Let me see. Yeah, we're going to have some fun, Arlene. We got some folks that are going to join us. And things like that. This is what God has made us for. And if we can pull all those gifts together, then and only then will we function as the body that Christ created us to be, a church that doesn't only encourage people spiritually, but encourages your whole being. And I invite all of you to take that walk with us. Join us on this wonderful journey. And who knows, in a year from now, God may even raise up one among you who would want to take a chance and stand here and deliver a message that God has put on your heart. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for making us in your image and for making us and blessing us and giving us the ability to live into all the wonderful things that you have done and made. Lord, we pray that you will continue to increase our faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.